Mr. Schmeele, Mr. President Sims, and Mr. President Bugler, distinguished faculty, family and friends, most especially you, our graduates 1994. You probably have noticed, especially if you're looking at the program, that I'm one of the last hurdles that the administration has placed between you and your diploma. I don't know you very well, at least most of you, and you don't know me, but I'm glad to be here anyway. In fact, I'm thrilled to be here. When the phone call came from Dr. Schmeele asking if I would do the honors this year, my heart skipped a beat, a joyful beat. And of course, when I mentioned it to some close friends of mine, I received lots of advice. No sweetness, Lash, give it to them straight. Don't upset anybody, Lash. Your president said, we'd like to send them forth for joy in ministry. I began to think at that point of my own commencement exercise. And I have to apologize to whoever arranged it. I don't even remember who spoke. Worse than that, I don't even remember anything he said, except that he told what I thought was a terrible joke about a Christian grizzly bear. And that's all I remember. I have no idea what the point was. All I knew it was about a Christian grizzly bear who prayed. I'm sure it was my fault much more than the speaker's, or maybe it was just that it was a few too many years ago. But a commencement is something very special, whether we remember it or not. It becomes a very special moment. This is not any ordinary commencement. It's a very special moment, where we take just a little time to listen to the church. And the church is saying this night, we welcome you. We're glad you're coming. You're an answer to our prayers. We have prayed the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. You're the answer. And we can't wait for you to get started. What a beautiful welcome from the church. But we would take another moment. Another moment tonight to listen to you. You who are the graduates. And because this is not a typical commencement, because there's so much on your heart this night, we'd love to hear you say, Lord, Lord, thank you for this day. And thank you for everybody who helped make it possible. Thank you for family, wives, parents. Thank you for the faculty. Thank you for the people you have placed around us with whom we have talked and who have helped nurture us. Lord, this is an important cause for us. For most of all, we would thank you for the baptism of grace, for your call, for loving us, for choosing us, for calling us into ministry, for blessing us all the way through. It's a special night to listen to the church welcome you and to listen to your gratitude that surges from your hearts. But I would like to take one more moment to help us remember once again how it all got started. We have a God who loves transformation. He loves new things. He loves to make change. His word talks about new birth and new life and new hope and a new creation. He can take a man like Isaiah, and he can bring him into the temple and show him his glory. And Isaiah says in response, "Oh, woe is me. I have a foul mouth, and I run around with people that have foul mouths too. Oh God, look how I look. Woe is me." And this God comes to Isaiah to say, "But I have loved you, Isaiah, and I have forgiven you, Isaiah. I have cleansed you and pardoned you. I am with you." And a little later, the same God is saying, "Who will go for us, and whom shall I send?" And Isaiah raises his hand to say, "Here am I, send me." Well, Isaiah, didn't you just say, "Woe is me, I want nothing to do with this God"? Oh, but that was before the transformation. That was before he loved me and cleansed me and made me his own and made me a promise that he would be with me. Oh, he loves to transform people. Peter had an experience just like it. Sees this fantastic catch of fish, falls down before his Lord and says, "Depart from me, I can't handle this at all." This who loves to transform people, says Peter, "You are forgiven. You've gone to the cross, so feed my lambs and feed my sheep, and I will be with you." Peter responds as he writes to his people, "Hooray for God! He transforms people. He gives new life and new hope." Ah, he loves to transform. Talk about transformation, you can't help but think about the Apostle Paul. On his way to Damascus, knocked off his horse. "What would you have me do?" "I'll tell you what I want you to do, Paul. Preach Christ. He's preachable. Proclaim Christ. He's proclaimable. Witness to what he has done for you in all the world. Transformation." And a picture shows us what this transformation is all about and how it's done is a beautiful picture in Jeremiah. God says to Jeremiah, "Go to the potter's house." There, Jeremiah sees a potter in action. One stone on the ground, another stone a little higher, tied together with a board or a pole. And with his feet, the man is turning that bottom wheel so that the top wheel is also turning. And on that wheel is a little piece of clay. And he takes some water and he begins to work the clay. Work it. Work it. It's not just in his fingers, you understand, as he works and makes it thinner and thinner and a beautiful top and a beautiful shape. It's not just in his fingers, it's in his heart, it's in his mind. It's going to be a thing of beauty. And he works and he works, and suddenly the vessel is marred. Accident. What was it? I don't know, but play is cheap. Throw it away. Get rid of the thing. But the potter is in the remodeling business. He's in the forming and transforming business. And so he takes some more water and he begins to work out the mar. And once again, he has that thing of beauty spinning there in front of him. Thing that comes straight from his heart. And for the first time in the story, he speaks. God speaks. Power in his hands. The power in his heart. Can I not do with Israel what the potter has done with that clay? It's as if he would say to Jeremiah, cannot I do with you what the potter has done with the clay? A beautiful forming and a beautiful transformation. It's his thing of beauty. He has chosen to make it then. He has made the clay, and he has formed the vessel. It was he who brought you to baptism. In that water began to form you with his grace, and with his love, and with his mercy. That beautiful thing that was so marred and continued to be marred, he continues to hold it in his hand. He's in control. He continues in that water of baptism to make it new, to transform it into a thing of beauty, his thing of beauty. And he brings his little pot to Fort Wayne of all things. And he gathers some faculty around to say, help form this thing. Work with me in transforming this into my thing of beauty. It's all in his heart. It's all in the people he chooses to use to do this thing. And he continues to work at it. And he brings you to this day. Brings you to this day with a promise. These hands who formed you, and these hands that transformed you, these hands who chose you and made you my own, these hands who called you and appointed you and sent you forth, these hands are going to continue to transform you. He is not about to let you go. Not without his blessing. Not without his hand. Formed and transformed for ministry by the grace of the good Lord and by none other than the chief potter himself. But I got to tell you something, the world isn't happy to see you come. The church is thrilled about your coming, but not the world. The world has another agenda. The world keeps probing to the outer limits. How far can we go? There are no absolutes. There are no standards. The world knows who formed you and transformed you. It makes them extremely unhappy. We need individuals making decisions, not the Word of God. We need feelings of individuals rather than God's sin. I wouldn't care if I didn't care about feelings anymore. The world has got all kinds of agendas, their own values. Listen to somebody on television saying, we haven't decided whether we're going to get a dog or have a child. We don't know whether we should ruin our carpet or ruin our lives. That's the agenda. Going into a world where 49% of the families in that world never speak about anything religious, not about church, not about Christ, not about the gospel, nothing religious. They're not happy to see you come. They like it that way. You're going to a world where there are 1,100 abortions performed every day. Life. What's life? They're not interested in your coming. But God is. The one who formed you and transformed you. He's extremely interested in your coming into his world. And he can't wait to have you get there. For it's his ministry in which he has called you. And he has called you to the loving and to the loveless. And he's called you to hurting and to bereaved. And he's given you a word of law. You are the man. And he's given you a beautiful word of gospel. Christ loves you. Christ forgives you. Christ went to the cross for you. Christ rose for you. A beautiful word of gospel. Your words are powerless. I can tell you that from 35 years of experience. But his words, powerful. He just invites us to share the word. Share a word of love and a word of forgiveness. Share an admonition to witness. Share an admonition to share the gospel. There they go. Those graduates of 1994. Thrilled about the ministry. Because the one whose ministry it is formed them and transformed them and sent them by the power of the Spirit. So thank you, members of the faculty, for all you have done to serve your Lord, as you have kept to shape and form and transform. And my hearty congratulations to all of you who are graduating. You have a thrill in store for you. There is nothing more joyful than serving your Savior. And to all of us who also have been formed and transformed by this Lord of ours, may God bless you as you reach out too with the gospel. You reach out to the lost, wherever they are. It's our business. It's our only business. God bless us all as we go, formed and transformed for ministry. Thank you very much.